The extradition proceedings are underway as to this third defendant, and we are optimistic that he will be extradited as well. The indictment alleges that these defendants targeted more than 100 victims, both minors and adults. One of the victims in this case was 17-year-old Jordan DeMay from Marquette, Michigan, who tragically took his life as a result of this crime. As a standard practice, we do not mention the names of victims in our public comments, but I do so today at the request of his family. We are grateful to have standing with us today two special agents from Nigeria's Economic and Financial Crimes Commission, or EFCC, who have been partners in this investigation and have assisted in the transportation of the defendants. Let me now introduce them to you. To my right is Oshodi Glover Bapatunde Alfred, a team member of the Cybercrime Section Team B. And to my left is ASC2 Adams Adzi Shedrock, also a team member from Cybercrime Section Team B. We are also grateful for several Nigerian officials who are not present with us today, who have been critical partners, and I'd like to mention them by name. First of all, I'll mention two people from Nigeria's Economic and Financial Crimes Commission. First of all, Acting Executive Chairman Abdul Karim Chukol. In addition, ACE 1 Michael Wetkas, a commander at EFCC Lagos. In addition, I'd like to mention two people from the Office of the Attorney General, Ministry of Justice in Nigeria. First of all, Assistant Director Antoinette Ochiobi from Central Authority Unit, International Cooperation Department, and also Principal State Counsel Pius Akuta, also from the Central Authority Unit, the International Cooperation Department. My sincere thanks to all of our Nigerian partners for your extraordinary efforts in this case and your shared commitment to justice. On behalf of the United States Department of Justice, I want to extend my sincere personal gratitude. Now let me add some details about the alleged scheme and the charges as well, and say something about the steps that will follow. This criminal scheme involved a practice which is commonly referred to as sextortion. I will remind you that these are allegations and a defendant is innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. A federal grand jury has alleged the following. The three defendants, Samuel Ogashi, Samson Ogashi, and Ezekiel Robert, purchased multiple hacked social media accounts. One of these hacked accounts was used to create the Instagram account Danny Roberts, the picture of whom was a young woman. Once Samuel Ogashi had the Instagram account, he used its messaging feature to contact Jordan DeMay, the 17-year-old from Marquette, Michigan. Over the course of a short conversation, Samuel Ogashi, pretending to be this young woman, persuaded Jordan to send a sexually explicit image of himself. Once Samuel Ogashi had that sexually explicit image in his hand, he then turned to extort Jordan DeMay for money, threatening to reveal the image to Jordan's family and friends if he did not comply. Jordan DeMay paid what he had, which was $300, but Samuel Ogashi continued his threats, demanding more from Jordan. A few hours later, Jordan told Samuel Ogashi that he was now taking his life. And Samuel Ogashi, responding through the Instagram persona of Danny Roberts, told him, "Do that fast, or I'll make you do it." Jordan DeMay then took his life. Now let me turn to the charges. The indictment includes four counts. We have charged all the defendants with these three crimes. First, with conspiracy to sexually exploit minors, the minimum penalty of which is 15 years, the maximum of which is 30 years. Second, conspiracy to distribute child pornography, carries a minimum of 5 years, a maximum of 20 years. Third, conspiracy to commit stalking through the internet. It does not have a minimum, it carries a maximum of 5 years. And then lastly, we have charged Samuel Ogashi with the crime of sexual exploitation and attempted sexual exploitation of a minor resulting in death. The minimum penalty for extradited defendants will take. As to any further actions thereafter, we will wait to hear from the court as to how we will proceed. I will mention that we will not be making any further public comments tomorrow as we're having this press conference today. With that, I want to turn it over to Acting Special Agent in Charge of FBI Michigan, Devin Kowalski. Before I do, I just want to say thank you to SAC Kowalski and his team for their extraordinary investigative work that made this case possible. Working side by side with our Nigerian partners, FBI Michigan delivered in this case what they do time and time again: a careful, smart, determined, and exhaustive investigative effort to protect children and people across Michigan. With that, I'll turn it over to SAC Kowalski.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon. My name is Devin Kowalski, and I'm the acting special agent in charge of our field office here in Michigan. I'd like to thank U.S. Attorney Totten for his partnership and leadership on this successful extradition and bringing awareness to a growing crime facing our youth. And thank you to the media in attendance today. Your continued interest in Jordan's case has brought attention to this incredibly important topic. Less than a week after Jordan's tragic death, agents and professional staff across FBI Michigan began working tirelessly to find answers for the family. The FBI's involvement began when our Marquette office, our smallest FBI office in FBI Michigan, opened a case on a then unknown user who had been extorting Jordan. This was a multifaceted investigation that involved identifying hundreds of victims, following the digital footprints left behind by these sextortionists on the internet, tracking the payments made by victims through multiple financial entities, and working with our overseas office in Nigeria and our Nigerian counterparts, the Nigerian Economic Financial Crimes Commission, to identify our subjects in Nigeria. In addition to all the work done in the United States, personnel from the FBI in Michigan traveled to Nigeria to continue the investigation. It is through the Herculean effort of the FBI in Marquette, across Michigan, at our headquarters in Washington, D.C., in Atlanta, where the extradition team traveled through, and in Nigeria, that we are here today, announcing that two of the men who are allegedly responsible for Jordan's death are now in the United States to face justice. And make no mistake, charges of this type brought against subjects outside the United States are rare. Securing extradition of these subjects is even more rare. I could not be more proud of the work done by the Marquette resident agency of our FBI office, who were supported by the entire FBI Michigan family along the way. Too many to name, but I want to specifically thank Charles Smith Jr., our legal attaché, and his team in Nigeria for their incredible engagement and support in this investigation. This investigation required thousands of hours of investigative work, and the techniques used and refined during the process will serve as a framework for disrupting criminal groups who engage in sextortion schemes going forward nationwide. I'd also like to reiterate our appreciation to our foreign partners, as the U.S. Attorney noted, the Office of the Attorney General, Ministry of Justice, the Central Authority Unit of the International Cooperation Department, and I am especially grateful for the partnership between the FBI and the EFCC. They are an outstanding and professional organization that are consistently strong in their partnership with the U.S. government. And I would also like to thank Jordan's family for their support and patience. Without their support, we might not be where we are today. I want to take a few moments and provide some information about this terrible threat, sextortion. I am urging young people, their caregivers, and loved ones to educate themselves about sextortion and to help us protect each other and protect others from being victimized. The number of sextortion cases involving children and teens being threatened and coerced into sending explicit images online has more than doubled since the pandemic. Sextortion can start on any website, app, messaging platform, or game where people meet and communicate. The criminal may claim to already have a revealing picture or video of a child that will be shared if the victim does not send more pictures. But more often, this crime starts when young people believe they are communicating with someone their own age who is interested in an authentic relationship or with someone who is offering something of value. Particularly in the cases of financial sextortion, the offender receives sexually explicit material from the child and then threatens to release that compromising material unless the victim sends money and/or gift cards. The amount requested varies, and the offender often releases the victim's sexually explicit material regardless of whether or not payment is made or received. The shame, fear, and confusion our young people feel when they are targeted often prevents them from asking for help and prevents them from reporting the abuse. It is imperative that caregivers and young people understand how this crime occurs and begin discussing online safety in order to reduce stigma and save our children's lives before it is too late. If you believe you or your loved one has been financially sextorted, first remember the predator is to blame, not your child or you. Report the predator's account via the app or platform safety feature. Block the predator, but do not delete the profile or messages, because that information can be extremely helpful to us as we put together a case and identifying the subject. Ask for help from a trusted adult or law enforcement before sending money or additional images. And remember, cooperating rarely stops the blackmail and harassment, but law enforcement can if we know about it. For those who are listening and may have been targeted, I want you to know that you are not alone. And whether you can believe it now or not, there is life after sending pictures. Our partners at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children have a program called Take It Down. They can help victims mitigate the spread of their images online. If you're not ready to speak with the FBI, go to another trusted adult. Tell someone that you are being victimized online and need help. Talking about this can feel impossible, but there are people who want and can help you. If you're ready to report to law enforcement, or you are a bystander who suspects a person you know is a victim or a perpetrator, contact us at 1-800-CALL-FBI or report the crime online at tips.fbi.gov. That's tips.fbi.gov. The FBI and our law enforcement partners are only interested in bringing criminals to justice. Our children and teens should not fear reporting the crime, as they are innocent in these schemes. In conclusion, I have tremendous respect for everyone involved in this investigation. Thank you for bringing Jordan's family one step closer to justice. Thank you again for being here today.
Thanks so much, SAC Kowalski. I appreciate it. And just in closing here, let me make two comments. First, I want to say thank you as well to the folks in my office, the support staff, the attorneys who have worked tirelessly on this case. Their work exemplifies what we try to do every single day, which is to seek justice, ensure accountability, and protect families and children all across the state. Second, I want to reinforce what SAC Kowalski mentioned about the importance of this case for everyone who might be listening. To those engaging in this crime, understand that we will travel the world to find you and hold you accountable. No one is immune to justice. To those who use social media or who have kids who do, be vigilant and take to heart the advice we've shared. Talk to your kids today. And to those who are victims of this crime, please, please reach out for help. You are not alone. With that, I will turn it over to Tiff, and if there are any, I'm happy to take a few questions. All right.